You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, here we are, folks. It seems like this first incredible phase of free agency has come to pass. The New York Mets do not appear to be making any more moves. But boy, did they make a lot of moves over the last couple of days. I'm still reeling from all of it on the first segment of today's show. Of course, we got to spend some time talking about Max Scherzer and his new contract. 3 years, $130 million. I'll go through that, what the Mets are getting in Max Scherzer. We just had to revel in this as long as we can. I still cannot believe that Max Scherzer is a Met. I don't know if I'll be able to believe it until I see him wearing the blue and orange in Port St. Lucie once we get to spring training. But that's what we're going to do to kick off the show. Then in the second segment, we're going to talk about Javi Baez, as it appears like the Mets are going to at least pass on signing him for now. Maybe they revisit that once the new CBA gets in place. But as I said, it appears like the Mets are done spending at the moment. Then in the final segment, we'll recap everything. Where do the Mets stand now that they have gone through this first wave of free agency? Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. So Max Scherzer, folks, is officially a New York Met. For the podcast audience, you might not have watched my YouTube exclusive where I reacted to the Scherzer signing on Monday morning. So you can check that out by going to the Locked On Mets channel on YouTube and subscribing as well. But for this podcast audience that didn't hear it, yes, Max Scherzer is a New York Met, $130 million, the fifth richest contract in franchise history, and none of them were for only 3 years. The average annual value on this contract at $43.3 million is a record. That is a ridiculous amount of money to give to a pitcher at 37 years old, but it's not even going unwarranted. This is a pitcher that deserves every penny. When you sign a pitcher like Max Scherzer, it can change the entire fortune of your ball club. Let me actually pull up the exact stats that I had that I tweeted out earlier, because I was trying to think of a comp, right? The Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom duo. And we've seen it in recent years. We've seen the Dodgers put up great rotations. And most recently had Scherzer and Buehler. You saw Verlander and Cole with the Astros. It's not like a 1-2 punch is a rarity nowadays. The Mets have even featured great 1-2 punches over recent history with Jacob deGrom. But the one group that I thought of, or the one pairing I thought of, was Schilling and Randy Johnson. And in 2001 and 2002, those two pitchers finished 1-2 in Cy Young voting. Of course, Randy Johnson, the ace, won the award each year. I believe that was part of his string of winning four straight Cy Youngs. But during that time, their record combined was 90-24. In 2001, do you know who the number three pitcher was on the Arizona Diamondbacks? It was Brian Anderson, not the third baseman for the Marlins. This is a different Brian Anderson, who pitched to a 5.20 ERA, yet they went to the playoffs with a 92-70 record, and they went on to win the World Series with Brian Anderson being their number three. The reason I say that is because there's all of this concern right now still, and I don't know if I've seen that much of it. I've seen mostly a lot of fans rejoicing in the signing of Max Scherzer and focusing more on that than worrying about what comes next, which I appreciate. Because you have to take a second here, sit back, take a deep breath, and just go, wow. Because you never expected this coming into the offseason, to have Max Scherzer on your team. But having Scherzer and DeGrom just changes the entire equation on the Mets. To have two pitchers that dominant, that is a remarkable advantage you're going to carry into any series. When you can have those two going in, look, you're facing the Phillies opening weekend. I don't even know if that's the first series, but I'm just talking about hypothetically. And you get to go head-to-head against Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola with Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. You have a great chance to win that series. And I've already talked about Carlos Carrasco a bunch. I still believe in him. But my point is, right now, the Mets rotation is in absolutely great shape because you have two of the top five pitchers in baseball, top three pitchers in baseball. For my money, you have the best two pitchers in baseball on the same team. And to just back that up a little bit, look at the numbers since 2015, which is when Jacob deGrom had his first full season. Obviously, won the Rookie of the Year 2014, made 22 starts. But since 2015, when he was a fully formed version of his ace self, here are the stats for these two guys and how it ranks among starters in baseball. Max Scherzer, when it comes to his WAR, 39.7. That's F WAR for Fangraphs. That was the first best mark in all of baseball. Second best, DeGrom at 35.4. You go to ERA, Max Scherzer, 2.75, third best mark. Jacob deGrom, 2.47, the best ERA in baseball since 2015. Innings pitched, 1,297 and a third for Scherzer, the most by any pitcher. You go to deGrom, 1,121 and a third innings pitched. That is sixth best. You go to strikeouts, 1,699 for Max Scherzer. That is the best mark. DeGrom, 1,361, the third best mark. Gerrit Cole has some more strikeouts than DeGrom. If DeGrom didn't get hurt this year, he probably has the second most. But still, Scherzer, far and away, more strikeouts than anyone in baseball. And you could keep taking that back to 2014, 2013. He has been the best strikeout pitcher in baseball for a decade. I mean, he is modern-day Nolan Ryan almost, if you really look at it. You go to XFIP, expected fielding independent pitching. This gives you the best measurement of a pitcher's value according to Fangraphs. For Scherzer, you have a 3.14 XFIP, the fifth best mark in baseball. DeGrom, 2.89, the third best mark in baseball over that span. You go to strikeout per nine, Jacob deGrom at 10.92, the seventh best mark. Max Scherzer at 11.79, the second best mark. All of this is to say, these two guys on top of your rotation, it is just ridiculous. And the one thing I want to say before we stop talking about this dynamic duo for today's episode, because I'm planning on spending a ton of time this offseason talking about Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer, but I want to talk about Scherzer's demeanor for a minute, because Jacob deGrom is just the robot. I mean, he is this perfect artist when it comes to his mechanics, but that face, the demeanor, he is just locked in, focused, perfect, wind up. He fires in, doesn't get any reaction unless a Wilmer Flores is standing in there and he might crack a smile. But Jacob deGrom, when he's on the mound, he is locked in, but doesn't really show emotion. Max Scherzer is, in some respects, just talking about the way he reacts on the mound, more fun to watch than Jacob deGrom because he is an absolute bulldog out there. And that's going to be cool to see that give and take, to see the different dynamics of those two guys. Max Scherzer is the one that's going to be cursing out the batter when he's sitting there ready to fire in. Max Scherzer is the bulldog that's strutting around the mound after every strikeout, that looks angry, that's mad at the batter, that's mad at the catcher's glove as he fires in that 95-mile-per-hour fastball. Max Scherzer is basically similar to what we saw from Matt Harvey at his best, where he was the Dark Knight, where he would be roaring as he got the mound, where he brought that fire, that energy. Max Scherzer is going to be so much fun to watch for Mets fans. And the fact that you get to see the most beautiful thing in the sport in Jacob deGrom one night, and then see maybe the most dominant and fierce thing in the sport the next night. How can you not be absolutely thrilled for the start of the 2022 season? It's going to be remarkable. I can't wait to continue to talk about what Scherzer is going to mean for the Mets throughout this offseason. I'm pinching myself every day. I can't believe this happened. But the one thing that is also potentially happening is Javi Baez may no longer be a Met. Right now, the two sides appear to be disengaged until at least after the CBA. Javi kind of wanted a deal before this CBA. It seems like he might not get it, at least from my latest check on Twitter. I don't think he's signed. It seems like he's going to have to wait. And that might mean that he is not going to be a New York Met any longer. Going to talk about that in just a minute. BetOnline is back and better than... BetOnline is back and better than ever, now featuring a new web interface for the start of the basketball season with more props, odds, and lines available than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using our promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, boxing, NHL, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the other good stuff you're missing. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So at this point, it seems like Javier Baez is not going to sign with the New York Mets, at least for now. The Mets appear out on him when it comes to his contract demands. What we've seen reported is he wanted a $200 million deal over 6 years, which would break down to $33.3 million, which is just a shade less than Francisco Lindor got when it comes to average annual value, obviously four less years. That's a lot of money, though, to pay Javi Baez. If you look at the other shortstop deals we've seen, Corey Seager with the Texas Rangers got $325 over 10 years. That's $32.5 million a year, which is basically close to the neighborhood that Baez is shopping in or trying to shop in. And then you have Marcus Semien, who just had a better year than Javi Baez. He is older, but he got from the Rangers as well a seven-year, $175 million deal, which breaks down to $25 million a year. So with that, Javi Baez, I can understand expecting to get paid in that neighborhood. He has a reputation as one of these star shortstops. At the same time, the production has not always been quite there in the same way as a player like Seager, who maybe has shown a higher ceiling. Although Seager has struggled to stay on the field at times. Carlos Correa, very similar in that he has not played full seasons very often. He has always dealt with these injuries, but those guys are cashing in. Correa trying to get $400 million. We don't know if he's going to get there, but we expect him to get more than Corey Seager. So obviously Baez sees all of these shortstops getting these monster contracts. And if the Mets are coming to him with a three-year deal or even a five-year deal for like $100 million, when you just saw Semien get 7 years on 175, you can understand how these two sides are way too far apart right now to come to terms on a contract. And maybe this is the path to re-signing Javi Baez, to pull out of the running, to let his market play out. And then maybe as the offseason gets back underway with the new CBA, he's looking for a new team, doesn't find the deal he wants, maybe that is how you eventually get him on one of those short-term deals that I've been talking about, where you can get him on your team next season without having to commit to him long-term. Maybe it is that three-year deal with the opt-out that I've been talking about for all this time, but for now, it appears like that's off the table. And I really don't think that is the worst thing for the New York Mets. I think the worst thing would be to just get so swept up in spending that you commit 6 years to Javi Baez and then you lock yourself in. When you look at the Mets' plans next season, assuming whatever discontent you have between Lindor and McNeil, if that is either water under the bridge or it can be worked out, I guess I should say. If you can make that work, Jeff McNeil is going to cost nothing next year, and he could be your starting second baseman. And that is a perfectly suitable infield. Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, Eduardo Escobar, that is a fine group to roll into opening day, especially with the knowledge that Mark Vientos could be up very soon next season. As I've said before, I think the bat's already ready. The glove you have to work on, but who knows? Who knows what he's going to look like in spring training? If I'm anyone close to Mark Vientos, I'm hitting 4 hours of grounders to him every single day and getting him ready to try to make a ball club out of spring training, or at least turn some heads and get close to making the ball club. But that's still an option. The infield for the Mets, I'm really not that concerned with. Sure, if they got Javi Baez, yes, you could do a lot of creative things. You could trade Jeff McNeil, address other needs on your roster. You could trade Jeff McNeil, get prospects back. But I think this idea that you have to get Javi Baez is a little bit overblown still, because Jeff McNeil still exists here. And if all we're talking about is a personality clash, then get these guys in a room and figure it out, because Jeff McNeil being your starting second baseman might be the most, I don't even know the word I'm looking for here. It's not even creative. It's the most realistic and potentially the best solution to your offseason at this point. Because do you really want, after you just invested in Scherzer, in Marte, to throw money on Javi Baez, who we know is an inconsistent player? Look, I love Javi Baez. I loved watching him play. And it seemed like the Mets had a lot of interest, and I was totally on board with bringing Javi back. But if you listen to all of my takes, I've always said, don't give him that 6-7 year deal. And if that's what he's searching for right now, if he wants a 6 or 7 year deal, which is totally fair considering what it took for him to get to free agency, all of these years playing on those small contracts to get to this point to cash in. He just had a great second half leading into his free agency. And there are still teams out there that might pay him big money. The Detroit Tigers might still give him, you know, 150 over six, and he might get that $25 million a year. That money could be out there for him. Maybe the Yankees get into the bidding. Who knows who could be in on Javi Baez down the road? If you're the Mets right now, though, I think this is the wise decision to sit back, to tell them that we're not going to talk right now, and to see if their camp circles back, and then you're in the driver's seat again to get him on the contract you want. Obviously, we would love to see a full season of Lindor and Baez up the middle. But as I already alluded to, if it's Jeff McNeil at second base, it's perfectly fine, because I still believe Jeff McNeil can be an all-star caliber player, because he was just a few years ago. So for now, that appears like where the Mets infield is going at the moment. Could they still address it? Potentially, but I would not bank on it at this stage. It seems like, at least for now, the spending is done. But the spending was a beautiful thing to see. The Mets accomplished a ton over these last couple of days, and I just want to recap all of it and where the Mets stand at this point. So what you're looking at when it comes to the spending the Mets just went through, the spending spree they just went on. As I've addressed on this show multiple times over the last couple of days, I love the Mets outfield now. Absolutely love it. Starling Marte, the guy I identified as soon as we got to the offseason, that should be your top priority. Land Starling Marte. They got him. Now they have Starling Marte and Brandon Nimmo. And what I love about both the Marte signing and the Scherzer signing is not only do they provide incredible upside and address a need for your ball club, they also provide great insurance for some of your biggest injury concerns. With Brandon Nimmo, all right, if he goes down, Starlin Marte can slot right in. If you end up at a point next year where it's Mark Canha in right, Starlin Marte in center, and Dominic Smith in left field, it's not the end of the world. It's certainly a lot better than if you didn't have Starlin Marte and then Nimmo went down and you're talking about Mark Canha, Dominic Smith, and whatever version of Kevin Pillar you want to throw out there. So I love that combination of moves. To get Starlin Marte, to get Mark Canha, your outfield finally looks like it's in really good hands next season. I also like the depth move of bringing in Nick Plummer. We talked about him on Friday's episode a bit with Jordan Grossman. Nick Plummer gives you another guy that can compete for a fourth outfielder job with Khalil Lee when you get to camp. I think the Mets can go out and they can sign your Juan Lagares-esque free agent on a minor league deal to compete with those guys. So that fourth outfielder role, I believe, is pretty close to already being filled between Plummer, Lee. You also have Jake Mangum making a push, and then you get some veteran in camp as well. So the outfield as a whole looks great. We just talked about the infield. I think they are fine with what they have. You still have Robinson Cano that can play some second base. I know fans are going to yell. They're going to hymn. They're going to holler. Robinson Cano is washed. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. I was actually just on the Just Baseball show. I'll leave the link to that episode in the description of this show on YouTube and on the podcast feed. But in that show, they asked me about Robinson Cano, and I made a reference I have yet to make on this show, which is that Robinson Cano is the most expensive minor league free agent signing that you're ever going to see. That's the way I look at him going into this season. You're paying him $20.75 million. He's on the books for this year and next year. If he shows up at camp and it's just completely washed, you DFA him. But there's always those guys who come into camp for spring training and can surprise you and win a job and win a role. And I think Robinson Cano still has enough left in the tank that he can give you 100 games at DH and 20 games at second base next year and be a solid contributor to this Mets team. I've talked about that in the past. I don't think that's a wasted roster spot by any stretch of the imagination. So between McNeil, Cano, second base has some coverage. At third base, you got Eduardo Escobar. You still got Louis Guillorme to fill in all over the infield. I still love Guillorme. I might be one of the few, but between the defense, the high on-base skills, the fact that he just gives you good at-bats, I think it really helps your lineup when Guillorme's out there fouling off pitches, working the starter. He does a lot that I really like. The Mets infield is in pretty good shape. They would still probably like to add another signing, somebody that can come in, and whether that's just a minor league deal or somebody that'll be maybe in that same range as Jonathan Villar was last year at $3.5 million that you can bring in to get some at-bats as well. But even if they don't get that, I'm not that concerned about the infield either. Really, if I just look at the position players on this team, with the addition of Canha, Escobar, and Marte, I think you're in pretty good shape. I really do. I think the biggest concern right now is addressing the bullpen and just your overall pitching depth. And so the Mets are going to have to spend a lot of time after we get through the CBA process and the offseason gets back into full swing, just rounding out the roster. But if you're just talking about the net result of four signings and the questions that were answered going into Friday, no idea what the outfield is going to look like next year. Now that's solved. We know. Eduardo Escobar as a signing was not my favorite. It was my least favorite of the four, yet he still fills a vital role. I still trust Eduardo Escobar a lot more next year than JD Davis, and then still even having to bank on the future of a Mark Vientos. It's good to not have to bank on that. You want Mark Vientos to just demand playing time, to be so spectacular in spring training and in AAA that you have to start him at third base. And if that ends up happening, if Mark Vientos pops off the way I think he can, I mean, that's just going to completely flip the dynamic of the ball club as well. And I've talked about this before. There's nothing that moves the needle more in a season than the rookie sensation coming through. I mean, we saw in 2019, and I'm not going to set that level of a bar for Mark Vientos, but when Pete Alonso arrived and not only thrived, but carried a team, it changed everything. And so Mark Vientos has a bat that I'm still really intrigued with, and that factors into that equation as well. So when we look at what's left, as I mentioned, you got to run out the pitching staff. I still like a potential Rich Hill or a Tyler Anderson signing to round out the rotation, but even that is in pretty good shape right now with the incredible signing of Max Scherzer with Jacob deGrom, Carlos Carrasco, and Taijuan Walker. I still believe in Tyler McGill. I still think there's something with David Peterson. I think he can correct some things and be better next year. I still think they're going to hang on to Trevor Williams. And I think he can give you 110 innings next year of some pretty quality pitching. The Mets look like a team that is ready to contend. And their World Series odds, if I'm not mistaken, this is just based on a random tweet I saw today, but I think I saw the World Series odds went from like plus 2,200 to plus 1,100. I know regardless of what the numbers were, the odds got cut in half with the Max Scherzer signing. That's how significant that move was. And now the Mets look like a legitimate World Series contender going into next season. We said that last year, so they still got a lot to prove. There's still more that has to be done. But at this stage in the offseason, outside of maybe the Rangers, I don't think there's any team that has had an offseason that comes anywhere close to what the New York Mets have done. Steve Cohen, thank you for spending all of that money, over $250 million. Billy Epler, way to identify free agents that fit this team, way to get all those guys to sign on the dotted lines. Let's give him a little round of applause. Great job. Great job. We'll be talking about the rest of what is left of the CBA and everything that's about to happen with that throughout the week here with Locked On Mets as we continue our offseason coverage. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Also, if you go on Twitter, I should mention, we are running a giveaway right now. It is the pinned tweet at Locked On Mets. All you have to do is follow and retweet, and you could potentially win a signed photo of Mookie Wilson and also a signed photo of Howard Johnson. We're going to announce the winner once we get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by Aram Layton. Locked On MLB Prospects is the best place to go to learn about the stars of tomorrow. You can follow Locked On MLB Prospects wherever you get podcasts.